Headphones on.
I know. I didn't turn this on. Yours. Ready? This is the ICANN 55 IDN Root Zone LGR Workshop on March 9th, 2016 at 1300 hours WET in the Amethyst Room.
I think there is a slight confusion because there was a change in time in this workshop. So we'll start in a couple of minutes. Okay, so thank you for waiting, and we're very sorry for starting 10 minutes late. There's apparently been some confusion with the start time of this meeting. Let's get the session started. Let's go to the next slide, please. So welcome to the IDN Root Zone LGR workshop. And next slide, please. We will be talking about the LGR toolset. Marc Blanchet would take us through what is currently being developed and what the status of this work is. We have some feedback from integration panel on the work being done by the LGR by different communities. Then we have updates from different panels. We have presentations from Thai generation panel, Korean generation panel, Japanese generation panel, and Chinese generation panel, after which we'll have a QA session. Just because of the confusion in time, we apologize for the inconvenience, and let's move to the first presentation on the LGR toolset. So over to Marc Blanchet.
Good afternoon. Next slide, please. So, agenda recap of the project, new features we've implemented since last time, and conclusion. Next slide. So, project is a web-based LGR editing tool. We define three phases. There's actually another one coming, a fourth one. So, first is enable LGR creation, so you can create an LGR. Second phase is to of implementation is to actually validate a label or generate its variance labels. Third is some LGR management functions, such as conversion of language tables. I'm sorry.
Wayne, can you speak? We just want to make sure that you're on a call. Could you please speak?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Great.
Sorry. No problem.
Thank you.
So the phase three is about management of the LGR, so you can convert all the language tables into the new XML format, comparing two LGRs. So, for example, if you are working on multiple versions of LGRs, then you can compare two versions. You could also do operations such as union or intersection. So, for example, and in those two cases, you will get a new LGR, which is the result of the operation. So, this is the name of the implementation team below. Next slide. So again, four phases, three listed there. There's a new one that was briefly described by Sarmad this morning. So we essentially did the whole set of phases. The tool has been available on our own server since then, and now is being available through ICANN, hosted by ICANN. Next slide. So a few updates, updates of since phase two, mostly from last time we presented this. So now you can edit the WLE rules. You can edit, define, delete classes, rules, and actions. You can define tags in code point view to be referenced. You can compare LGRs. You can do union, intersection. You can expand ranges to single code points. So it expands all the ranges that you can see in your LGR. You can save the LGR summary that usually you would have seen in a modal text version. So you can now save it for further reference. You can add variants when you import code points from a file in a manual mode, which was not supported before. The update of the namespace. So there was a change of namespace was done during the specification of in the ITF working group to a more standard namespace. Therefore, right now what the tool does is when you have a LGR with the old namespace, it will just convert to the new namespace automatically for you, so you don't have to care about that. ICANN contracted a security firm to do a security audit of the code, or the software, I would say, more generally, and roughly no issues except one on restricting the capability to inside the XML, and we added this enhancement to the code. And ICANN is actually using Docker. I don't know if you know about Docker. It's a way to do containers. It's more easy to deploy software in the data center, and we provided Docker-ready configuration, I would say, for the tool. This slide is no more appropriate because it's now available on ICANN as lgrtool.icann.org. So, and IDN team is now, so don't go to our site anymore. there was a question last time on Unicode version. So the editor itself is Unicode version independent, but it actually applies IDNA 2008 rules. So it's kind of independent and not, but any LGR processing will actually depend on the specific Unicode version, and we're aligned with 6.3 right now, which is the current IDNA tables. I'm sorry. Next slide. That's what I've been saying. Next slide. New features, next slide. So it's just a few screenshots, and you probably, it's better for you to look at the actual PDF of the presentation because it's kind of it's detailed inside. So this is an example of where you can list the different rules, WLE rules. So if you have a previous LGR that you already have rules, and it will show you the rules. And if you see, I don't have a laser right now, but if you see on the right, there is a button that says edit, so you can edit the rules, each of them, and action and classes. Next slide. So this is an example of a class that you add. It will essentially open a text window, and then you can change the content of the text or the class if you want, or the role or the action. when you do save, what happens is we do, the tool actually do a basic validation, but it doesn't try to relate if you're using, you're referencing something, a tag, for example, which is not yet defined. So it's kind of, again, the idea of a free editor. You could do whatever you want, and it's only at the end when you are ready, then you can validate the whole thing, and then the validation will actually make sure that you reference, you don't have any stale reference of something. So it's really on a two-step process. More free editing and then validation of if something is not correct. Next slide. This is just to show you the tag addition when you're modifying a code point. And tags are actually with auto-completion, so if you already have defined a tag, then it will, you know, offer you the choice. So just a simple, easy way for people. Next slide. This is an example of the diff. So what you need to have is two LGRs in the workspace. As you may, for those who may or may not have used this, the tool, you can have multiple, as many as you want, LGR in your workspace, and then you can edit any of them. So the tool actually, when you do the diff, you take, you click compare, and then you tell I want the diff, and then you choose two LGRs that in your workspace. Therefore, you have to import the two LGR you want to compare before doing that operation. And if it's a diff, then it will show the results. So here's an example of a Khmer LGR two versions and shows the difference between the two. Next slide. In the context of union and intersection, the result will create a new LGR. So it will create the LGR. You won't see anything happening. Instead, you will just be presented with the result of the action. So you will be put into the new LGR will be put into the user workspace, and we change the title so there is no issue on identifying it, and it's automatically created for you. So you just got the union of both or the intersection of both. Next slide. You can expand the ranges, so that will convert the range to a list of code points. You can convert a specific range or all ranges in your LGR, and obviously the generated code points will inherit all the properties of the ranges, tags, and stuff like that. Next slide. So this is an example of expanding. The button on the top is to expand all the ranges, and the button on the right is in a row of a specific range, so you can choose one or the other. Next slide. We did many fixes, actually, many bug fixes. This is one about a case when and not when definition with an anchor element. I don't want to go through these, but you know, we've been improving the software. next slide. That's what I was saying previously about the security audit of the code, the software. So that's the quote of the auditor that says, "Appear well-designed, resisting typical web application attacks such as cross-site scripting and URL manipulation." There was one issue about testing of the existence of a file in external entities. This XML stuff that has been disabled since then. Next slide. Next slide. So phase 3 is released. We're currently working on an addition of in the tool to enable you to input a file of labels and then get the tool process the labels so you can see if what the effect of the LGR on the list of labels, so collisions or anything. So that's the current work, and we should probably, release this probably within this month, it's going pretty well in terms of development at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll move onwards. The next presentation is by Michel on LGR considerations. He's here in the capacity of a member of integration panel, and this is just feedback from integration panel as a whole on the current work which has been going on and some of the observations they've made. So over to Michel.
Okay, good afternoon. So, yeah, we're going to use experience we gain in reviewing LGRs from, you know, the Arabic GP and as well as from the Khmer and Lao that are coming now on OBC CJK as well. So we have, you know, in reviewing all those LGRs, we have kind of, you know, accumulating some hints, if you want, or feedback on all those LGRs that were submitted to us. And so this is kind of going over some of the points that, you know, are important to us when we're reviewing those LGRs. And so we'd go in some different consideration, you know, first about the repertoire, then about the rules about the repertoire, and as well as, you know, some, I would say, advice or, you know, hints of how you can get LGR accepted or, you know, basically considered by us on. So we'll go to the next slide, please. So first, the repertoire, that's probably the more visible one because that's define your kind of, you know, your code point set for your LGR. And that's probably where you're going to spend the first part of the development is to establish your set of code points that you need for a given script. And obviously, the one of the first points is you better make sure that it does fit within the MSR, the maximum starting repertoire, which is currently in version 2. So it's always useful that you really look, you know, carefully at the MSR. And MSR is obviously available on the ICANN website, and you can, you know, it's basically a set of code points that is a subset of Unicode 6.3 at this point, and does define some sort of a sandbox, if you want, you know, define your envelope for defining your own repertoire. The next point is to make good references when you're going to justify code points for your given LGR. We expect to see references establishing the use, modern use, you know, corresponding to what you need for domain names applications. So we expect to see some attestation of modern use. So, for example, typically the MSR already took care of that, but, you know, we try to be not totally too restrictive, so we let some opening, if you want, to each generation panel to make their own decision. So we didn't want to be totally, when the IP did the MSR, we wanted to leave some leeway on the different LGR so they could, I mean, some the generation panels, so they can make their own decision on the repertoires. And obviously, an important point, each application is done with two documents. There is a proposal, which is typically a text, you know, document with background and all sort of description of what the LGR is about. But it does use some reference or technical details on the repertoire, and we want those to be exactly the same that are provided on the XML. XML will have basically a formal description of the LGR, and we expect the same terms or the same terminology to be used in both documents, especially when you do subsets through tag or references. There's, you know, different elements that you can create within the XML to subset your own repertoire, and those should also appear in the same way in the XML. So consistency between the proposal and the XML file is very important to us, and we have been doing that quite often. And again, coming to the repertoire, which is something that people not necessarily realize, that a repertoire is not just done of code points. It can also be done of sequence of code points. Sometimes it could be useful, especially you could see, let's say you define at some point, I'm thinking of the Latin generation panel, probably they may find that they need characters beyond the pre-composed characters. On if you need characters with accents that are not existing as pre-composed characters, you can either do both ways. You can either have in the repertoire sequence of those combining sequences, which is based on the base character plus the diacritics, or you could say, well, you know, I'm going to have the base character, I'm going to allow that combining mark, and then I will have established rules about when I can use that combining mark with the base characters. So there's multiple ways of doing that. And one of the easiest ways, typically, to make your life easier is just to put in the repertoire sequences instead of just single code points, which is different in IDN tables so far. You didn't really see that, but the LGR format does allow you to create sequences. And then they need to be classified. Typically, it's very common, especially if you have some complex rules in your LGR, most of the characters are going to be themselves classified in subsets. Like, for example, you could have an example of Khmer Lao, we have seen that. You would have consonants, you would have vowels, you would have, you know, either independent vowel, or you would have vowels that are attached to a consonant. I mean, you have all different classification of characters, and those do show in the repertoire as basically subset, and you use mechanism in the XML to do that, which is either by, you know, by tag that you attach to given code points. Like I said, sequence allows specification combination of code points, and that will be very useful for combining marks. We'll see that. We would expect Zach to see that, especially on Latin and possibly Cyrillic and a few others. We don't expect them to be used too much in, let's say, South Asian scripts or Indian script, because typically the use of combining marks is it's quite exhaustive, and it's very difficult to just restrict their usage to given sequences, because it would be just too many. You would have infinite number of sequences, and that's not exactly the right way to do that. Sequence cannot have a tag. I mean, that's a bit of a limitation, but in fact, there's ways to go around that. On as an IP, we've been working on those limitations. Next slide. So that's just kind of example how a repertoire that was, we were using the Arabic, you know, LGR for that. So here you see the name, the code points, and then there's references on the right side. And you can have multiple references, and typically references give, you know, one example, for example, that you say when the character was encoded in Unicode, the encode version when this was encoded. But that's a minor point for typically LGR. LGR are more concerned about making evidence of use, and those evidence of use are done by typically documents or a website or web references. And so then get them, they get, you know, added as reference, and then those references have a numeric value, and that numeric value does appear on the column for the references. So that's how you create basically evidence of use on the IP. Then we review those evidence of use on, you know, basically negotiate with the generation panel, make sure that they're all correct. And again, it's very important that you document the same way those references between the XML document and the proposal itself. Next slide. So well-formed, that's also, when you define labels on the LGR, we are not really trying to make spelling decision. We're trying to make well form. And the distinction sometimes can be a bit subtle, but the idea is that we are not really after, you know, representing a dictionary, because dictionary do evolve anyway. They get new terms added, on what is correct from a spelling point of view one day may not be the same in 2 or 3 years from now. So we are not really going after spelling rules. We are going after well form. In some writing system, it's not obvious. Like, you know, think about Latin again. You know, you could have names like Agendas. We always use that because that is totally meaningless in any languages, frankly. But still, it's, you know, if someone wants to register Agendas, they could do it. There's nothing wrong. It's totally wrong from a spelling point of view, but it's well formed. So that's kind of the idea. And in Asian script, I mean, South Asian script, it's a bit more subtle. It's a bit of a fuzzy line, what is well-formed, what is spelling, correct from a spelling point of view. On the guiding factor there, it could be also complexity. You don't want the rules to be too complex, and so you try to make rules that make sense. So the you know, you basically correct yourself against really labels that are completely badly formed. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes we will find, so how we define that, you can either use BNF, you know, in your proposal to define what is the structure of your writing system, or you can use, you know, any form of regular expression if you want, depending of what the expertise of the generation panels, you know, we will use anything that you provide us to define what is the, you know, well-formed rules of your writing system. And then we will negotiate, if you want, with the generation panel to come to a common understanding, again, between complexity and coverage. And it's not the intent to fully represent a well-formed syntax for a given writing system, because some of them are so complex that it may not be possible to represent them without going too far on the complexity. So we're just trying to capture at least you know, things that should never happen in a language. Let's say, you know, you have a consonant followed by a sign that is never going to happen. It's not supposed to happen that that sign should follow either a consonant or a vowel, or, you know, a vowel has to be preceded by some consonant. I mean, there's all those things that are inherent to each languages or script, and we want to capture the one that makes sense. It's too bad, when I was doing that presentation, I did not yet have the Khmer Lao examples. I would have used them otherwise, but we learned quite a bit, in fact, in doing those too, how to work with generation panels to come up with, you know, basically a mutual understanding on how to get LGR that was acceptable. Like I said, you know, the good news for the future LGRs on GPs that create them, that they will be able to use what was done in the you know, as very recently for Khmer Lao, because they could use them as templates for their own kind of work, and they can look for inspiration on what was done for those two writing systems. So we expect, in fact, to work to become a bit easier as we go, because you can use, you first. The IP itself can use past experience, and also the new GPs can use experience from previous LGRs to do their own work. Okay, next slide. Yeah, obviously the rules, that's an important part of LGRs, which is kind of new compared to what you saw before. We see in IDN tables, if you remember, you know, the IDN tables had this kind of free format, you know, kind of constraint you were putting on, but they were not really enforced by any mechanism. Now in LGRs, we have, in fact, mechanism to enforce rules. We see those rules are there to, again, enforce well-form, like I said before. And typically, we prefer context rules compared to world label rules. I mean, I'm not trying to go in detail how the XML, I mean, the full LGR works, but basically, you can either in the repertoire itself, in the repertoire declaration, you can typically say that a character can what is can be before the character, what is after the character, on you. It's that's done by the rules that we call none. I mean, when or not when. So you basically say, well, this character can only appear if it is preceded by this class of characters or followed by this class of characters. And that's a very powerful mechanism to restrict you know, labels and make sure that they're well-formed. So you can either do that on code point base, on the, again, by these contextual rules, or you can do then the, you can also do it on the world label. And that's done by the action on the different parts of the LGR. And, you know, I give a small example, like, for example, you say the character must follow a consonant. And so in the repertoire declaration on the XML file, you will have the char CP on X will be the code point of the character. Okay, yeah. And then you say follow consonants. And follow consonants will be basically a contextual rule that will be on the, on the rule section of the XML file. And rules can define sequence of code points and be used in other rules. So that's another thing, and keep it simple so we can understand on the rules, and also you will have less errors on creating them. And obviously, it's very important that you validate them with test labels. So when LGI is created, it's very important for us that we get a large corpus of data so we can validate. And also, we want to know, we want to get invalid labels so we can validate the fact that those should fail the LGR processing, and some that are valid, so we make sure they do succeed when we process them. Next slide, please. This, you know, I can't read even from here, but those basically are examples of rules. You can go on the slides, and they do explain some of those contextual rules. And they're just given here as examples of how they look. And in that slide, we use a regex on the middle column. Again, I can't read from here, so, but it's basically what is an XML, but expressed in a bit friendlier term. And then there's a comment on the right that do explain in plain English what the rules does. Next slide. So again, test labels, that's very important that we get a label to validate the LGR. That's the only way we can verify that the rules on the repertoire are correct. And it does, typically out of those, we have a negotiation with the various NGPs to make sure, and we sometimes have to change the rules to make sure that, in fact, labels that are supposed to fail do fail, and labels that are supposed to succeed do succeed. And we always get surprises, you know, like sometimes we get a large corpus of data that will fail the LGR, and that obviously has to be fixed. Otherwise, we have to be basically, we need to know that those really are bad spelling. Okay, so next slide. Variance. I need to go fast here. So basically, variance, you know, it's something that has been covered otherwise, but obviously the LGR do cover variance through variant tables, either through InScript or AutoScript. And so you will have to look at those and look obviously for either within your own repertoire or from repertoires that have some relationship. And we do expect LGRs to do that. Next slide. Yeah, this is an example of a slide. That's in fact part of the Arabic LGR. And you can look at that one. Next slide. On the example for the Arabic element LGR, you can look at, you know, what was done for the Arabic LGR. So you have at least an idea from a true LGR that was produced and is now available. Next slide. And again, use our own expertise. We know LGR, we even know XML, we know how to do those things. And don't hesitate to ask our opinion and work with us when you're creating your own LGR. Next slide. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. We'll move on to community updates. We have first update from Thai Script Generation Panel. So over to Pitinan.
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Pitinan for the records. So next slide, please. Okay. For the Thai GP, we found October last year, actually. So this is just the roughly of the language. It's about 70 million speakers. And all this is just like we moving forward a lot of trying to localization. So we also working on the email address. So this is just the roughly. Next slide, please. Okay, so we already defined the code points, and in Thai script there are a number of speaking, but in the writing is actually only one. So for the next slide, please. Okay, this is the component of our GP. So it's comprised of the DNS, the policymaker, the linguistic, and also the registrar. Okay, so the next slide. This is the original plan. Unfortunately, we cannot meet the plan. We can do it halfway on the red highlight. So right now, we already defined the label rules, but still in the middle of trying to hold the public consultations. Now the plan has changed, and probably by the next meeting, we will be able to submit. Okay. Next slide, please. Okay, next slide. Next, please. Yeah. Okay, so this is just to summarize that from the etologue.com, our status one is only the Thai. The rest are speaking, but is actually writing the same. Okay, next slide, please. We finalized the code point repertoire. We found that two of the character is no longer in use in the modern writing system, so that will be in the proposal. Okay, next slide, please. Another one. Sorry. Okay, so for Thai script, we similarity because the root from Sanskrit, so a similarity to Laos, Khmer, Burmese, and some script in India. What we are working as a group is now Laos and Khmer and Thai. So the next will be the variant definition. Next, please. This is too small, but from the PowerPoint you can download. Within the Thai script itself, there's some of the script that could define the variants, but after yesterday, we have consultation among us, Thai, Khmer, Laos, and find out that it's not that confusing. So we agree that there is no variants to be defined. Okay, and for the next, this next one is the Laos and Laos and Thai. If we are Thai and Laos, we looking at the characters, we definitely know which one is which. But there was a question that if there is a font difference, it can cause the similarities. But that's not the case. Okay, the next one, Khmer script. Okay, and then the next one is the Burma, which is not active yet. Can you go to the next one, Burma? Okay, this one, unfortunately, you cannot see because the font problem. Okay. The next one. So these are the rules. We have some specific rule of the writing system that need to consider the sequence of writing. Another one, please. Yep. So the sequence of code point we already done. The certain code point already done. Now is the sequence that we are still have to consult with the public consultations. There are the writings. Our writing system have the consonant, vowel, and the tone mark, which is come in the certain sequence, but it's never really defined as a standard. So that's the point that we will have to hold a consultation, and hopefully we can find the final within the next meeting. Okay, so to the next slide, please. And the next one. Yes. So this is the change of the plan. After this, supposed to have the consultations within March or April, and by the end of April, should be able to submit the proposal. So this will be the summarize of it. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll move on to the next presentation by Professor Kim on Korean GB.
Thank you. I like all the slides, but we'll focus on changes made since last time. Next, please. Next. Okay. We have at the bottom of the slide, we have 48,119 characters, Hanja characters, in our version V0.3. It is quite stable. There won't be not much deletion or addition, I expect. Next, please. And we analyzed Chinese variant groups. It is about 3,000. Out of them, we concluded that only 303 variant groups can affect Korea. So we analyzed only 1/10 of the 3,000 Chinese variant groups. Next, please. For 303 variant groups, we concluded that 44 of them are acceptable, and the remaining 259 are hard to accept at this point. Next, please. And we analyzed the unacceptable 259 variant groups once again, and we subdivided it into two. 97 variant groups have similar meanings, and the remaining 162 variant groups, Chinese variant groups, have different meanings. And we are in the process of translating the meanings of for the meanings of 162 variant groups. Next, please. Okay, go next. Next, please. Next. On February 1st, Korean LGR has been formally seated by ICANN. Actually, we started our working since the end of 2014, but now Korea is formally seated. Next, please. We expect that the Korean LGR version 1.0 will be published, hopefully, in the May of this year. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the update by Japanese generation panel. Hota-san.
Thank you, Sarmat. My name is Hiro Hota from JGP. I'm a chair of the JGP. And the file, it's slide deck itself, it contains the almost the same as the Dublin meeting. So I'll go very fast. Okay. This is the meeting related events. And next, please. We have 8 members from various stakeholders, various expertise. Next, please. And this is the relationship among CJK language LGR. So this means that the Japanese, Chinese, and Korean language script language has the common characters in their label. So we have to coordinate. So next, please. And this is a framework of CJK, LGR integration for Han characters. This has been already agreed by 3 GPs. Next, please. Activities. So we JGP establishment or something like that. So this is very historical. And next, please. Discussion status for Japanese. For Japanese LGR 1, the LGR alpha. So scopes of the character codes, it's we borrowed that from Japanese industrial standard. About the variants, definition of variants for kanji, the Japanese LGR doesn't define any variants. But as I said, we share the characters with CGP, Chinese and Korean characters or labels. We import the variants from them and think about how to define variants as an imported variants. So we are thinking about that. And for the WLE, we may have very small number of rules, even if defined, but it's not yet fully discussed yet. All right, next, please. Overview of Japanese LGR. Yes. We have around 6,000 Han characters. And hiragana, katakana, the 85 and 89. We usually use the Han, hiragana, and katakana in a mixed way in writing a word. So these three scripts will be mixed in a label. And variants, As I said, no variants are defined. And next, please. So the last two slides are newly created. So I will explain it a little bit deeply. So is reduction of the number of allocatable labels really necessary? So as I said, we don't have variants. So, but we do import the variants from C, N, or K. So that makes us the variant label group bigger and bigger. So, for example, logically, it may be more than 10,000 allocatable labels if we don't define any rule for that. Because in Japanese case, every combination of characters is allowed in our word. So logically, the number of variants will be big and big for the labels. So we analyze kanji domain names currently registered under JP, and the biggest size of a set of calculated variant labels, which follows the variant definition from Chinese language table. So it's around 20,000. But it is big or not big. But I know that the IP integration panel thinks that it is a big number. So an IP has just requested, it was last week, but the IP had just requested JGP to reconsider the reduction of allocatable labels further. So we are thinking about the further seeking ways to reduce the allocated labels. And in addition to that, we propose or request ICANN some ways that is complement to LGR, which can be used to solve the issues, because JP want to have any combination of a label. So it is not foreseeable in advance. So how should we solve that? If the reduction cannot be done by inside the LGR, we need to ask ICANN whether such procedure can be made as a panel. Okay, so last slide, please. This is the this is not technical one. Okay, communication with the Japanese community. We are doing communication, to educate what LGR is and to seek their opinion on our definition of the LGR. So presentation discussion with Japan Trademark Association, it was in October, and no objection against draft of our LGR. And presentation and discussion with various stakeholders in Internet Governance Conference Japan, it's a kind of localized year there, in the event in November, and again, no objection was raised against our draft. As a related activity, the JGP submitted public comments to guidelines for second level LGR. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to the last presentation for this session. It's an update on Chinese generation panel. It is going to be presented by Wang Wei, who's going to be doing this remotely. So, Wang Wei, over to you. Wang Wei, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. After the Dublin meeting, the CGP rechecked the repertoire we made before the Dublin meeting, And we have the current repertoire is consisted of three parts. The first part is the CDNC table. The CDNC Taiwan meeting last year urged to add all CDNC chairs into CGP repertoire. And the CDNC table 2015 had 41 new chairs requested by Hong Kong community. And all of this added into the CGP repertoire. The second part, the next, please. The last one, yeah. The second part is from the China State Council normalized Hanzi list of common use in 2013. It brings 27 new chairs into the CGP repertoire. And to consider the future extension of CGP repertoire, we added 145 characters from iCore into the CGP repertoire. But we didn't add the characters in iCore extension B into it because some of them are not fully supported in Chinese IT system. The next, please. So among the 172 new characters from the normalized table and iCore table, there are 107 chairs are happen to be the also to be the JGP characters. So we review these characters and recreate the variant relations of them between them and the original CGP repertoire. The next, please. So also, we get the feedback from the IP. So CGP fixed the flaws in the last version of CGP LGR XML document. We completed the description of reference ID. We add the type of reflective, and we corrected some spelling errors and add some comments to the action rules. Speaking of action rules, though the WLE rules are not finally decided, we hope to keep consistent with the action rules of current CDNC, which is besides the accepted the original applied, all simplified, and all traditional. All the other variant labels should be blocked. The next one, please. So, considering we haven't finished the coordination work with GNK. Besides the 107 KGP chairs I mentioned above, CGP does not seek to borrow or import more characters or variants from the GGP. And we acknowledge that KGP provided thousands of Hanjak chairs, and they all fall in the range of CGP repertoire. Next, please. So the next step, CGP agreed to generate merged LGR based on the algorithm proposed by Unisom. But I just get the suggestion from SMS that there are still some characters are not covered by the current CGP repertoire, with including 22 characters in the IDN table proposed by .Asia. So in next meeting, CDNC meeting, so we will discuss if the CGP repertoire should have the fourth part, which means whether or not it should cover all the Chinese characters in all IDN tables proposed by the registries. The next, please. That's the one. I'm sorry. So the challenges is still the variance set between CGK, because obviously there are some hundreds of characters which are variants in Chinese environment but not variants in Japanese or Korean environment. So we suppose we can reach 100% consensus on all the Chinese characters, but it seems impossible it is impossible for us to reach that goal. So probably we need a plan B to try to find out an alternative solution to dispose the unacceptable variant groups proposed by K. We C has invited J and K to come to Beijing to hold a face-to-face meeting at 20th and 22nd March. So I hope we could find, we could be smart enough to find an ideal solution to solve our difference. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was the presentation, set of presentations we had for this session. Now let's open the floor for any comments or question anybody may have. So are there any questions, comments?
This is Ahmed from Pakistan. I have a question from Michal. Michal, how do you see variants, how it will be handled, whether it will be handled by ICANN, by the community, or by the registries, because it may create confusion between the language communities, how to handle if it is allowed. It may create some difficult situation, and if not, it will be not accessible for the communities.
I mean, the only thing that we do is that we put blocked or allocatable on what happened to allocatable variants is really outside of the IP scope. I mean, this is really, it then become a decision, you know, above us on what happened. We just saying that it's good to limit allocatable variants because there is no good technical solution to, in fact, entertain allocatable variants, in my opinion. But so we're trying to restrict it as much as we can because I don't think it's feasible to have too many allocatable variants when you have a label. But what happened to that, it's really, you know, beyond our scope as integration panel. So I can't really answer that.
So this is Armad. Getting a set of variants and their dispositions is the first step in the process. And work at the root zone, the intention is to do that as conservatively as possible, which means that the number of allocatable variants is as small a set as possible. However, in certain cases, it may still create a large set of variants which are allocatable, and for that purpose there has to be a subsequent process which looks at those allocatable variants to decide which of those variants will actually be allocated and what will be the process for that. That is work which is subsequent in the sense that it's a separate project. It's called IDN Variant TLD Implementation Project, which is we are currently doing homework on it within ICANN, and we are aiming to come back to the community with more details on that project very soon, perhaps in next 3 to 4 months, and possibly, hopefully, by the next ICANN meeting. So that's a discussion which needs to be done within the community after some initial analysis of the facts has been done.
If you allowed, I have another question. Whether it is possible for IDNs to handle accessibilities for disabled persons? to make it necessary to have in their languages.
I think for accessibility is probably going to be another layer on top of the IDNs in applications. So, for example, speech interfaces which can spell them out or speak them out, whichever is possible, or some other mechanisms. So I think that's just another layer on top of it, which is an application layer, and that may not be directly in the scope of the work which RDN program undertakes.
This is Abdeslam from Algeria, from the Arabic script. I have a question about how to accompany the evolution of the Unicode versions. I mean, so we have new characters being introduced. It concerns, for example, the Arabic script. So how at ICANN we plan to move from 6.3 to version 8 or later version 9 of Unicode? Thank you.
So I request Mark Blatcher to respond to that.
If moving up to anything above 6.3 will require, I don't know, some work inside ITF and somewhere else, so I'm not sure what to do about anything up after 6.3.
So there are some initial discussions going on how to follow up on that. As Mark said, this is a discussion which is not inside ICANN. It's a much wider discussion which includes IETF and Unicode and many of the other community members. So that is something which is already initiated, and some more work is anticipated to start soon on it. So there is no clear answer to that, except that the community really needs to get involved and try to understand the problem and find a feasible solution moving forward.
Okay, thank you. I am Hadaf Mawraha from Ethiopia. I am a new fellow, and I am a member of the Ethiopics DP. It's a newly formed group. We have two or three meetings, very few people. So my question to the national GPs is, what kind of composition is this GPs do have? What best compositions in terms of expertise do you suggest to me? Another question is, can you explain to me what the variants and tag issues are in this script issue? Thank you.
So that's a slightly longer discussion, and I'm happy to take that with you after this session offline. But in any case, thank you very much for volunteering for Ethiopic GP, and we're very excited to have Ethiopic GP working and coming towards a LGR proposal. So we'll follow up after the session.
This is Nabil Ben Amar from Morocco, from the Task Force for Arabic Script IDNs. My question is to Mark. I'd like, so as you know, that we have finished our work for the root zone as task force members, and we are now tackling the second level and in the meantime the universal acceptance. So we the first question, comments are, we have noticed that, for example, for the email address, even if this question is beside the current topic of the discussion, that the at in the address hasn't been modified, for example, for the addresses. My question is where we can elaborate more so that we can have another character or something like that replace the at in the address to something Arabic or which is the same case in the other scripts. Is it in the ITF, ICANN, elsewhere? Thank you.
um, email is a, on, well, it depends if you're talking about messaging within Facebook, but email on the internet uses various protocols, and therefore those protocols are defined in the ITF. So that should be the place, but it might be a big endeavor to change the at sign.
Abdelmanem Galila, I think at not a character rather than a symbol for separation. Yeah, so if you wanted to change this character to accommodate Arabic AI, Arabic email addresses, I think most all the systems application should be changed to accommodate this new character.
Clearly, that's inside the ITF scope. Well, Maglache. So clearly, it's within the ITF scope to discuss that.
So are there any other questions or comments before we close? If none, then thank you all very much for attending the session, and we'll close the session. Thank you.